You know, Nate, when we started this show, what was it, forever ago in the middle of the winter, and it was like dark at 2:30 in the afternoon, this music really vibed with basketball. The Bryce Jordan Center, just this like, you're driving, the lights are dim. I guess it fits though, Nate, because we're playing basketball at 9:55 tonight. Welcome to the Hoop Show. I'm Thomas Francard, Nate Bauer, insider for Penn State basketball. We're breaking things down a little bit, up against the shot clock with the game coming up tonight, but we got plenty of time. So if you're listening to us on the podcast version, thanks for letting us be your pregame to Penn State for the first time since 2011 being in the NCAA tournament. Nate, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Sorry to all of the listeners for not having done this sooner. Life got in the way a little bit. Big run for Penn State. Obviously, you know, Sunday feels like a lifetime ago at this point, but to get to through Illinois, through Northwestern, through Indiana, and then really, you know, when it was like, oh, okay, they finally got caught up to Purdue, clocked them just the way that Purdue was supposed to do.
Yeah,
there they are. They're the cardiac kids are again, trying to, you know, really putting and pushing Purdue to the test all the way down to the wire.
Yeah,
in what was a really just an all around gritty Big Ten tournament. Right?
Yeah,
it was just such a good performance for them. And obviously so many ramifications from that, right?
Yeah.
We're able to get themselves into the NCAA tournament. They eliminated all doubt, which was kind of a moving target from that Maryland game to end the regular season until they got through really like, okay, well then they beat Illinois and they're in at least the first four. Then they get through Northwestern. Now it's about seeding.
Yeah.
Then they get through Indiana. Now it's wow. Could they get up into the 8-9 game? Right. And so, yeah, it was just a big accomplishment for this basketball program.
They were highly entertaining all the way through the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, that I remember just the Zach Edey goes to the bench with 5 minutes left in the game. And I thought to myself, okay, they need to get 10 points in the next 3 minutes. And my God, they almost did it. Like they almost did it. And it was just, it was really impressive. To have a look at a shot there at the final buzzer with the travel and how that's, you know, a very frustrating way to end the regular season before this postseason play, even though the tournaments are always weird to me. I don't know whether I call them regular postseason because they're all leading up to the actual postseason, but neither here nor there. We're not talking necessarily about that particular game because there's been so much going on, Nate.
Yeah.
Oh man. We had some technical difficulties, so we won't have as much Micah Shrewsbury as we normally do. But this program has blossomed under head coach Micah Shrewsbury to be in this position and to be in this position in year two. So the level of support for the program, it's been so crazy to see like how active people are on just on the message board, but message board, internet, Twitter, this team, people care about it now, don't they?
They do. And I think for Micah Shrewsbury, it's a matter of how much do they care? How much does Penn State care? How much does, right? Because look, let's cut through all of the weeds a little bit here. Penn State has been working on extending Micah Shrewsbury, right? And we've been through all of this for anybody who listened to me talking during the James Franklin's contract negotiations. This is going to sound awfully familiar because so much of it aligns with, right? First of all, you don't get to the end of your contract, right? You get a few years in and then you redo your contract. That was the case with James Franklin. It is the case with Micah Shrewsbury. And so you might be saying to yourself, oh, he's only 2 years into his contract. Why would they redo it? Because that's how it's done.
Yeah.
That's how it's done. If you're on a five-year deal, you redo it after 2 years, maybe the third, but you certainly don't get into the last 2 years. You're trying to build momentum. You're trying to recruit. You're trying to do all this stuff. And so Penn State, Pat Kraft, his staff have been trying to work through a contract negotiation with Micah Shrewsbury. And, you know, let's be honest here. Micah has had some great successes. Penn State has had some great successes under his leadership. They've had some dicey moments. They've had some games that have not gone their way, right? Yeah. Some disappointing losses, games that maybe they were expected to win that they weren't able to. Obviously, that Rutgers game is going to stick in people's minds towards the end of the season. But throughout, when you look at the whole, and certainly over the last 4 weeks, as they won 8 of 9 games at one point, and then obviously 8 of 10 once they lost to Purdue, and had this kind of unprecedented success for Penn State basketball, perceptions have changed. I mean, in January, you had Micah being floated as maybe a name of interest. It wasn't really a solid report that Notre Dame was going to pursue Micah Shrewsbury. It was just kind of, oh, well, this is a guy who would be on their radar.
Right. Hey, what about, you know, makes what about? Sense.
Right. And so that started. Then Georgetown and what they might do with Patrick Ewing made its way into circulation, really. And so as that was happening, Penn State's trying to lock down a contract with Micah to extend him. And, you know, I think it went a little back and forth, right? You had a guy who had the downs of 4 straight losses, and maybe the luster came off a little bit in terms of, hey, where he was trying to take Penn State basketball to get to the NCAA tournament might not happen. Or, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, in some ways it was not going to happen. They took every inch of space that they possibly had, and
every percentage
all of
the margin.
Totally. Yep. Totally. Yeah. So
is that short-sighted though? So we talk about, like, I think yes. in business, you want to have a long-term view. You want to have the view of not what's happening right now, but like, what's the body of work? What do we know about this individual? What have we seen in terms of progress from last year to this year? The whole thing, like the whole shebang. So for it to be so micro, it seems like that is a very unsmart way of doing things.
I think that they're look, we live in the here and now in a lot of ways, and so I don't necessarily blame it when you put it in the context of what Penn State basketball has been for forever, right? If Penn State had, let's say they lose to Maryland and lose the second game of the Big Ten tournament, and they're a 2 seed in the NIT or a 3 seed in the NIT, that fits. Yeah. That fits the MO of Penn State basketball. That's what a good season looks like for Penn State basketball. Not a great season, right? A great season looks like getting to the NCAA for the third time period since 2001. Yeah. Like, I was in high school. And so it just doesn't happen. But that's the differentiator. That's the difference between what could have happened and what has happened. And so in between there, you've got to figure out, okay, is Micah the guy? Yes, Micah's the guy. How much can be invested into Micah, into the Penn State basketball program, into the NIL infrastructure to get it up to where it needs to be? Like, all of those things are there for on the negotiating table. Right. Yeah. And so it's this constant kind of back and forth, and let's cut to the chase. Penn State being as successful as they have over the last 4 weeks without a contract having been signed changes the dynamic.
Yeah.
Significantly to where Mike Shrewsbury has the chalk, as the kids say, right? Like, he's got the ball in his hands and is really able to, he's in a position of leverage to be able to say to Penn State, listen, all of these certain things, right? I mean, if it's not a laundry list, it should be, because certainly anyone who's followed Penn State basketball, it doesn't take a wild imagination to come up with areas of deficiencies, right? Like, they've got to get better at this, and this, you know, funding and I mean, you name it, recruiting budget, yeah. Like any of
NIL
those things
is a huge
NIL.
About. Yeah.
It's a huge thing. It's the main thing. It's the main thing, because if you don't have NIL, you cannot recruit and you cannot
that influences competition. Yep.
Correct. And so for all these guys, they all want to win, and they're looking at what the picture of how to win is in today's college basketball. And that's it. It is, do you have the money to be able to attract top talent, to say this is the standard of what you can expect to earn for yourself as a Penn State basketball player? Penn State football does it. Penn State football is able to say, hey, this is what the standard is. This is what you can expect as a Penn State football player. Can Penn State basketball before the last month? I would argue no. They couldn't. Not in any reasonable way or impressive way. But now it's also, hey, can you keep the guys that you have? And for a Penn State team that has some really intriguing players in its true freshman class, they don't have to worry about keeping Jalen Pickett. He's gone.
Right.
Andrew Funk, they're gone. Like there's seven guys that aren't going to be back next year. Certainly Seth Lundy has to figure out what he's going to do, but I've said it for 3 months now. I mean, all trends, all signs point to him being gone. But if you want to keep Keba Jai and you want to keep Evan Mahaffey and Kanye Clary and Jameel Brown, like you got to have something, because other people are going to have something that they're willing to bring them in. Right.
Yeah.
So that's a major thing. That's kind of where they're at. So now it's over the last 4 weeks, we've all kind of danced around it a little bit in terms of, hey, what's needed within the program? What kind of momentum are you seeing? Do you need to capitalize on it? Right. Like on and on and on, because asking straight up rarely gives you an insightful answer to somebody who's in the middle of a contract negotiation.
Yeah.
But friend of the program, Dave Jones at Penn Live, he does not necessarily have that filter. And so he yesterday in Des Moines kind of went straight up and asked Micah the question.
That, you know what? That's a great question. I don't like, there's been a lot of those, right? I got that question last week at the Big Ten tournament. I told our guys after the Rutgers game that I felt like I let them down as a coach, and I didn't feel like I did my best. So I told them that'll never happen again, right? That's all I'm focused on, is being that person for them, right? We've just played 4 games in 4 days. We've had our backs against the wall for 3 weeks, and now I'm getting ready to coach my first opportunity as a head coach to be in an NCAA tournament game. I don't have time to focus on anything else but just being the best version for these guys. And that's all I'm focused on. When the off season comes, then I can focus on other things, but I'm tunnel vision on playing this game for our guys tomorrow.
Yes, no, I don't know question. I guess that's, I don't know. Is that accurate?
It's an I don't know question.
I don't, for all the things that you laid out before, whether he's the head coach for next year or not, I don't know. That is not a place you want to be in. That's not a great place if you're Penn State Athletics. So what's next? You know, how do you go I don't know to know?
Yeah, so like kind of it's not a good place to be, but also we just have to remember that Penn State just went through this. And now, granted, Sandy Barber and Pat Kraft aren't the same negotiators. They're not the same people at the table, and neither are James Franklin and Micah Shrewsbury. But if you recall, James Franklin spent most of the fall of 2021, once questions started to pop up about his contract, saying the same thing.
Yep.
Right. For all intents and purposes, like that was his answer, was he wouldn't give a straight answer. And that frustrated the heck out of Penn State fans, but also was a leverage point for James Franklin to get and squeeze as much juice out of Penn State to make a commitment into Penn State football as he possibly could. All right. I'm not going to tell you all what to think, but I see this very much in the same vein of, hey, it is not a situation where it's so simple for him to just say, yeah, you know what? I got a better offer and I'm going to take it, right? Cut and dry. This is wrapped up. I'm not interested. I don't want to sit at the table and even have these negotiations because somewhere else is better. Got news for you. Notre Dame has issues of its own, has things that it needs to work out. It is also the second fiddle in the pecking order of football versus basketball, right?
Right.
Fan support, you name it. There are a lot of things there that are not, I'm not going to say that they're not in some ways better, but they don't blow you away. I guess that's my point, is that they don't blow you away so much that Micah Shrewsbury isn't going to be interested in saying, hey, what can be done, and pounding the table for it, even though he's much more subtle about it, pounding the table for how to get those things done.
And I'll say this for you, because I always learn a lot from, in the same way that a lot of our message board members learn things from Nate or from Ryan or Fitz when it comes to, hey, here's what we know, talking to sources. And where you do that is bluewhiteillustrated.com on the Lion's Den message forum. Nate earlier today spelled out what he knows about that stuff in more concrete details than we're talking about here on the podcast. So if you are not yet a member, do it. Subscribe, $10 for 4 months of access. That is our spring football special. I know we're talking about basketball here, but it's our spring football special. Don't get it crossed. Just take the advantage of 4 months for $10. Get the inside information, because this isn't, one way or another, Nate, this is not going away. If Micah Shrewsbury, if he is retained as the coach, he gets a contract extension, we're going to hear about all the things that he won in this negotiation. If he's not, there's going to be a coaching search, and Nate is going to be plugged into what you need to know there. So it is well worth your time. If you're listening to this show, you love Penn State basketball, you want this to be good, you want this team, you want to know more, bluewhiteillustrated.com, sign up there. So I just derailed myself completely with that stump speech for your inside stuff. Where are we going next?
Can I just chime in real quick on the pitch and just say, if you did just listen to that, and if you did sign up or are going to sign up for our site based on that, please tell us. Please let us know that you're listening to this show and that that's what you came for, because it really does help us in terms of gauging how we shape our coverage, really, of Penn State basketball. So that's always very, very helpful to kind of get that insight. So.
Yeah, and how we just do all this stuff on my end, too. Like, we want to make sure we give you a lot of great stuff here, but we can't give you everything. And if you're cut, if this is the honey that's getting you into the trap, like, let me know. Like, that helps a lot, too. So we know how much we want to do and where we want to go. So the alignment between the two sides. Yeah. Pat Kraft is a big figure here, and he has publicly said, Micah Shrewsbury is going to be the coach going forward. They want to win at basketball. Yes, I want to win at basketball. And says all the right things publicly. Again, this is a delicate question. I don't want to go into too many of the hard details. But, like, is he full of it? Like, is he being truthful? Is there a limit to it? Like, if you're a Penn State fan, should you feel optimistic about this moment? Or should you feel like this is one that could get away?
That's a great question, because I think it's probably both, right? Pat Kraft is a motivated, confident guy, okay? And so would I or anyone else have put basketball at the forefront of his plate as the reason he was hired to come to Penn State? No, of course not. He is here to fix football and to get football where it needs to be. That is why they hired him. And it is why all of the comments that you're hearing from James Franklin are about how great things are.
He's been very happy.
Yeah. Right. But
been
not
publicly
just
very happy,
not just Pat Kraft. It's Neely Bendapudi and it's Matt Schuyler on the board of trustees. So when you have those influences all pulling the rope in the same direction, that's a dream, right? That's exactly what you want, because you're as the coach, you're able to say to them, hey, here are the things that I need. This is the direction that we want to go. And so the more that you're on board with those things, the better chance there is of getting there. But also the other side of it, of Pat Kraft and Neely Bendapudi saying to James Franklin, what do you need? How can we help you? I was thinking of this. These are things that we thought might be useful in this pursuit. And so for Micah Shrewsbury, I think that you're asking yourself, how much is Pat Kraft thinking of that?
Yeah.
How much time, right? How much is his staff thinking of that? How much is Neely Bendapudi thinking of that? Where does this rank in priority for Penn State University and for Penn State athletics? Because if everyone's being honest with themselves, the answer historically for 100 years is not at all.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Not a priority. It is I think that it can. I think that there are elements of wishful thinking in terms of, hey, you know, is this like poised to become a massive boon to Penn State athletics? I would argue probably not, but it doesn't mean that there isn't room for exponential growth. Right. It doesn't mean that you can't recoup the investment that you make if you're going to pour resources and energy and time and all of those things, right? Capital. If you're going to pour that into the program, can you get it back from a purely donor ticket side of things? I don't know the answer to that. But what I do think is you can gain. There are so many Penn State fans out there, pure Penn State fans, right? They like football. They want to watch Penn State football, who are open to the idea and would be tickled pink to watch a Penn State basketball team win.
Right.
Right. Like everybody gets to March Madness and Penn State fans have their other team, right? Whether that's Villanova or whatever their rooting interest is, it's always something else other than Penn State basketball. I think that there is tremendous untapped potential for Penn State basketball to gain fans and gain donors in the process. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take that commitment, that alignment that Micah Shrewsbury talked about on Wednesday. He talked about how every place that he's been, right? So whether it was Butler or Purdue, obviously the Celtics are a different animal altogether, but those two places, it's like everybody that you're if you are in or around that those programs, everyone's all in, and there's no real question about it. It's not about like factions or divisions or anything along those lines. It is very simply, how can Butler basketball win? How can Purdue basketball win? And they get that support based on it. I don't know that that has always been the case.
Is it because
at Penn State?
Is it because it's viewed as a zero-sum game or a place with no gain? So what I'm saying here is, are we pitting football and basketball against each other, where if we now pay attention to basketball, then football suffers? Or is it more of what you said earlier of, what's the ROI going to be on this? What's the return on our investment in basketball? And I think some people maybe think there are probably a fear-based thought that a lot of people have is, well, does this take away from football? So does it?
No, not necessarily. It doesn't have to. Could it take away from other non-rev sports? Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. But this is major college athletics at this point. And if you want to win, this is what's required to do so. And it's all out there, right? There's no hidden agenda of, I mean, first of all, Penn State has to catch up in a lot of ways anyway.
Yeah.
Facilities wise, it can compete. It's okay on that end. It's not the best, but they can get you there. But where NIL was in December, when Michael was on this show and said that 14th out of 14, you can't compete.
Yeah.
You're not at a place where you can compete to that end. So No, it's interesting just because you have so many different perspectives. I think that you have some level, excuse me, of being held back by the notion that NIL should be used to support everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That NIL should be an avenue that the university uses, or not the university, but the athletic department via its partner, right, in the NIL space. Excuse me, partners in the NIL space, that you should use this because, well, football already gets a great package. Basketball, you by default, you're getting a great package. There's all this support for you in terms of what your experience is as a Penn State athlete.
Yeah.
And so some of those funds should be distributed elsewhere, right?
Fairness.
More right. support for wrestling is easy to pick on, but I don't think that that's the biggest issue here. It's like, okay, how many funds are going to go from fan support towards, I don't want to pick anybody, but
right.
field hockey, you know, or whatever.
You know,
like,
you know the teams, you know, the sports,
yeah. soccer, right? Yep. Whatever it is, swimming and diving, they're all out there. And it's just a question of how do you want to compete? Because if you want to compete, you're trying to model yourselves after the best that are out there. And yeah. Penn State has not done that. They didn't do it in football, but now they are. Can they get there in basketball? It's a big question. And it's one that I think that they're trying to answer right now, but it's going to demand an affirmative answer before you see Micah Shrewsbury recommit himself to Penn State basketball.
So like Nate said earlier, if this sounds familiar, it's because this is the one time the head coach has leverage to win off the court. So we'll see. And I'm excited to listen to what Nate has to say as he learns more about it. Nate, I don't know if you know this or not. I got word at like 10 minutes ago when we were talking. Penn State's in the NCAA tournament tonight.
What?
They're playing a basketball game. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, an actual basketball game tonight. So, what do we know about Texas A&M? What do we want to talk about when it comes to Texas A&M in the tournament?
We're going to talk about them in the most general terms possible because I told you this before the show, like I'm not a Texas A&M expert, okay? Yeah. And I don't want to sit here and make it seem like I've studied film to the point where I can break down exactly what they are. I can't. I can tell you what the vibe and the buzz has been within Penn State basketball in terms of the perception of this game. And it is very much look, Texas A&M is going to get to the free throw line. Their guards are very good, right? Taylor is very good. Radford is very good. And they're just going to have to do their best to withstand this really 2-point centric attack. Right. I mean, they're just trying to get to the rim all the time. They have some big men who are physical and they rebound. The guards rebound. Everybody rebounds. They have an incredible rate. I believe it's sixth in the country for offensive rebound percentage. So of their misses.
That's
right?
Not a good matchup.
Of their misses. Well, it just depends because Penn State's defensive rebounds are actually pretty good. Like overall, yeah. I mean, better than you would think, but it's going to be a remarkable matchup based on, like I said, they're sixth in the country because they get 37% of their misses back.
Yeah.
So they're getting second looks all the time. And they're able to cash in on that. They do not shoot 3-point shots. Like overall as a team, they don't. I think that I pulled a stat. Andrew Funk, Seth Lundy and Miles Dredd combined have more 3-point attempts than their entire team this season. So, right. That gives you a little bit of an idea of where it falls in terms of their priorities as a team. But no, it's interesting because certainly I wouldn't say that anyone at Penn State was thrilled to get this matchup in the first round, right? I mean, yeah. That's been
the vibe all over the place. It's like, wow, this was a really crappy matchup that doesn't seem like it was, they got hosed a little bit.
But also, it's an intriguing matchup just based on the differentiating styles, right? Penn State,
yeah.
If Penn State is open, can get itself open. This is not a Texas A&M team that appears to crush you or suffocate you on the perimeter the way that some teams have done to Penn State this season. Like, Penn State's going to get open looks. And so if they hit those looks and get hot as shooters, Penn State should be in business. Like, Penn State should very much be competitive, but it's kind of this combination of, all right, the 10 seed, you kind of expect it based on what the season record was and the net and all of those things. That's fine. But nobody expected Texas A&M to be a 7 seed. That's the hang up is Texas A&M is like a 5 seed or a 4 seed. Like, this is a team that went to the SEC final. They finished second in the SEC. I mean, they went 15-3 in the SEC. So, a lot of people have talked about this being a penalty towards Buzz Williams for comments that he made about last year's selection committee, right? Like, just catching up to them. But if you're Penn State, you don't really care. Like, the penalties to you, right? The penalties not to Texas A&M, the penalties to you. So it's going to be interesting. It's such a late game. I'm going to be interested to see how many people on the East Coast stay up to watch a game that'll likely finish around midnight, maybe a little bit after that. But it's an intriguing matchup for Penn State, and one that certainly will get quite a bit of attention if Penn State's able to win its first NCAA tournament game since 2001.
Oof. So what do you think? I saw Andy Katz had Penn State going to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight or something like that. So are you high on this team's 3-point style, their resurgence on defense, and their better mentality, all sticking through the Big Ten tournament? Now, remember, before you answer that question, they spent 4 days shooting at the same rim.
Yeah.
Different gym now, and this team has been very finicky about what is and isn't a good shot for them on the road.
That's a great question because they didn't ever, I guess they did a little bit against Northwestern and maybe a little bit against Illinois, but it's not like they were getting as hot shooting as we've seen them. It's not as though they were just like unstoppable.
They didn't bottom out, which is as important. They were still able to hit shots at key moments instead of just going radio silent.
Yeah, I think the characteristic of this team over the last 4 weeks of finding ways is what's important here, because they have that experience and they are so old. This is the environment where that pays off, and I think it's the same environment that you saw pay off for the Big Ten tournament. Like, there were plays, there were things that they did that I'm not going to call Penn State an overall great, you know, like this physically imposing team or anything along those lines. But when they needed a stop, they got one.
Yep.
When they needed a play, whether it's a 3-point shot or just a bucket in the lane or to get fouled or whatever, they did it. They did that for the duration of the Big Ten tournament. And I think that's a powerful thing to have. That's a powerful attribute to have in with you when you get into an NCAA tournament setting. So I absolutely give them a great opportunity. I mean, I think it's a great chance. I'm not going to say that they should be picked or that, is there every chance that they can win this game? Sure. I do think that they're going to have to shoot it well, though.
Yeah.
Which is the stupidest thing, most obvious thing that you can possibly say, but I would have
I wouldn't say that they necessarily shot great, like you said, during the Big Ten tournament, but they found ways to win. They played everything you just said. And one more thing that I think is interesting, and this is my next question to you, as somebody who doesn't watch the NCAA tournament, I've never really watched the NCAA tournament. I've followed Penn State basketball, so I've watched the NIT way more than the tournament. So, do the whistles act differently in the tournament? Because I think they acted very differently in the Big Ten tournament, and that leveled the playing field for Penn State. Everything we talked about all season long, it felt like the whistles were a little more even. Felt like things were a little bit more neutral. And I don't know if that's a perception or a reality, but it is a thing. So in the tournament here, what are you thinking, and what's your observation about will they get an even whistle again.
Yeah, yeah. It was not an – well, first of all, Penn State would argue with that Purdue game and the whistle in that Purdue game. That was not to their liking. But
overall was my point. The whole tournament felt different than the regular season.
Yeah, Indiana. Yeah. In any case, no, but it's gonna be fascinating because this is such a contrast in free throw shooting teams to begin with.
Yep.
Right. I mean, Texas A&M basically has doubled Penn State up on free throw shot this season. Penn State is like sixth worst in the country for free throws attempted, and Texas A&M is number one. They get to the free throw line like 20 times a game, 19 times a game. And make a ton of them. So, so I will be very interested to see how this game is called. That's what they do. They like Texas A&M is so penetrating in style. They're just constantly trying to get to the rim that they're going to draw contact and they're shooting fouls. So they get to the free throw line. Penn State, right? So much of their offense is 3-point shots. But also the 2-point shots being a lot of kind of crafty stuff, physical stuff mid-range. From Jalen Pickett, mid-range, you name it. That I mean, and we've been talking about Jalen Pickett's complaints all season, but like Jalen's the only person on Penn State's team that has more than 100 free throws shot this year. I think that's the number is more than 100 free throws shot. There are 4 of 5 of their starters at Texas A&M have shot more than 100 free throws.
Awesome. Here's the other part of it too, and that I think you make a really good point about like the fouls that are going to be called. I guess the question is, we've seen Penn State have a very different game plan and a very different ability to shoot if you're calling touch fouls and grab fouls on the perimeter. So that's going to be interesting as far as how this crew that they get tonight calls the game. And I guess that's why, because if they can get freed up to shoot, this is going to be a very dangerous team. But if the tournament is playing things a little bit loose and they want to get guys to the rim and they want to, it's a little more free flowing and they're not calling as many fouls in it. Big Ten basketball is a specific brand of basketball. So maybe that won't be the case. I want to find out. That's the thing I guess I'm interested in learning about.
I did not get the sense. I mean, and look, I watched 2 or 3 Texas A&M games before we recorded this. I did not see them doing that to anyone, right? Like they weren't doing that to Alabama. It's just a different style of basketball. Like it's visually looks different from what they're doing in the SEC and specific to Texas A&M because that's the team that I'm watching. But it just doesn't appear to have the I don't know if like in your face, they're not glued to you on the perimeter. Right. That's just not what they do. And so it's not about whether or not officials are calling it. It's about whether or not Texas A&M chooses to approach it that way. Is that how Texas A&M wants to muck up this game?
Right.
And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, certainly you would expect them to be ready for Penn State's 3-point shooting, but to what extent we'll see.
That's why you're the expert. That's excellent insight there. No, that's legitimately that's a very good observation to end the show. So we'll see it all. BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, he's got a preview out. We're going to have coverage live in game thread as always. BlueWhiteIllustrated.com on the message board, so join us. That's Nate Bauer. I'm Thomas Ryan Carr. This is the Hoops Show. Hopefully, well, no matter what, not the last one, but hopefully not the last one. We'll see what happens after tonight. We'll talk to you then.